Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors, past and present, and your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Welcome to Season 3 of Your Next Mission Video Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I say it every week, we love them too. We have an incredible show for you today, focusing on how veterans can pursue a career in law enforcement. And I'm so excited to introduce Michael Harris, Assistant Chief of Police of the North Las Vegas Police Department. Michael, Chief, whatever you want me to call you, that's what I'm going to call you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Sergeant Major. I very much appreciate the invitation.
Well, first of all, let me start off by saying it's my honor to have you on the show. And you know, I'm a real supporter of the police force and what you guys do. So God bless you for what you're doing each and every day. And it just, again, great to have you on the show. Hey, before we get started, though, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. No, absolutely. My name is Mike Harris, born and raised in Vegas. I've been here for 47 years. Graduated high school here and left and went to the Marine Corps about a week or so after graduation. Shout out to my O3s out there, my grunts. But much love to all the military veterans who are out there. And those ones actively serving as well. 5 years in the Marine Corps, did the infantry for about 2.5 years, and 2.5 years in the embassy duty realm, which was a pretty cool gig. Left there, came back home, decided to go to college. A friend of mine said, hey, I'm going to go take the police test. You want to go with me? I said, sure, why not? I'll go with you. Nothing else going on, really. I was valet parking cars at the time. I went and took the test. I passed the test. He didn't, unfortunately. He never spoke to me again after that. So I started with the Clark County School District Police Department. I was there for about 2.5 years. I missed the camaraderie of the Marine Corps, a lot of which I had grown so used to the previous 5 years before leaving. And then I joined in North Las Vegas, and right after I finished field training, I went over to the Army National Guard. I did the National Guard for about 3 years and realized that camaraderie that I was missing with the school district police, just because of the structural difference, the way that department is structured versus where I am now. Once I finished that 3 year commitment, then I went over and I stayed with North Las Vegas, and I've been there for the last nearly 21 years.
Well, obviously you're doing great. I was going to make a comment about the Marine Corps. You stayed in the Marine Corps five years. I stayed 36 years. It's a big difference right there. But what you said, though, is really correct. I mean, it's about the relationships and the team building and the people around you. And really, I always say your brothers in arms. You have a special relationship. In fact, if you haven't talked to somebody that you was in the Marine Corps for 20 years and you get them on the phone, it's like you talked to them yesterday. You know what I mean?
That's
that
right.
Relationship never goes away. And I'm sure it's the same thing like that in the police force. So, yeah, that's neat. And it's also funny that's the reason you went in the police force. The guy never talked to you again. I mean, doesn't even live around you no more.
Pretty much. Like I said, we were doing some classes together, and after that, that was it. I don't even remember whether or not he might even drop the class, but I never heard from him again.
Well, he may have thought you may be looking for him at one point in his life or something like that. I don't know. Hey, Chief, you know, recruiting is really a big part of what you do. And what do you look for in potential candidates to become police officers? I mean, I just looking at you, I can see you're a physically fit person, there's no question about that. But what are you looking for when somebody else wants to be a police officer?
Well, fitness is obviously a big deal. A lot of people that we get in new think that it's a part of the academy process, but it's really a lifestyle. Because not only throughout your police career do you need to remain physically fit, but you need to at the completion of your career as well. That's going to help reduce a lot of the stress that's involved. It just keeps that body going. Cops like donuts. I'm not going to lie. I like donuts. And so you got to kind of knock those off a little bit with a little PT every now and again. So PT is definitely one of those things. But even more importantly than that, Sergeant Major, is we're looking for some of those folks who can unlock their ability to use emotional and physical intelligence.
Yeah.
You have to be emotionally intelligent. You have to be able to understand people, have to be able to deal with people. You know, generally people don't call the police over to hang out for a birthday party and
oh, I thought it was like that all the time. That's new. That I call the Tampa police all the time. Come on, I'm at a party. You guys want to join me? Go ahead.
Well, we don't get that as much in North Las Vegas. I'm still waiting on my call. I haven't gotten it yet. But we want that emotional intelligence. We want you to be able to understand two things. And the way emotional intelligence is kind of defined is by your ability to understand your own emotions so that you can use your emotions to positively affect others, as well as use their emotions to create a positive outcome.
Yeah.
And those are the things that we're looking for. And the military offers that a lot, because you got people who can think on their feet. You have people who, this isn't the first time that they've been yelled at or been in some sort of a crowd where they're not, you know, necessarily the most liked person in the group. And a lot of military personnel and veterans have dealt with that and therefore can deal with it on the police front as well. Because again, there are those people who will come up and hug you, and little kids that can come up and grab your leg and be as glad as they can to possibly see you. But on the other side of that, there are those folks who aren't having the greatest day of their lives, and officers need to be able to deal with those folks in an appropriate manner as possible.
You know, you said a bunch of things that hopefully I can remember half of them. One is that you're exactly right about being physically fit, even when you go to war. You know, that's a battle. That's a discriminator in battle. If you're not Absolutely. Physically fit and mentally tough, you're not going to make it through. You're going to be a casualty on the battlefield. The other thing is the military. You know, years ago when I went to war, I tell everybody I went from 18 to 55. You know, I grew up that much. I looked at things differently. When I came back from war, though, I became a drill sergeant for about 4 years. It was 2 years one place and 2 years another. But I learned to read people, their emotions, how to, you know, how to get the best out of them, and how to communicate with them, how to just talk to them. Absolutely. Because you can, you know, as you're talking, I was thinking, you can force a person to react just by your tone of voice or your actions or what you do. Or sometimes you got to, I would think now, being a police officer, you got to be a good listener and a good communicator. Yes. You got to be able to communicate with people and to listen to their worthy issues. Now, the issue may not be important to you, or it may not be a big one, but it's something you need to listen to sort of work with, you know, work through whatever the issue is. What makes veterans, you know, such, I think we already said it, but what makes veterans really the good, probably the best candidates to be on the police force?
Well, again, like we talked about, fitness is already one of those things that they understand and have been through. So fitness is something that they can kind of do on their own without any prompting or coaching or anything like that. It's not really a big deal for those folks to go and do their runs and things like that. But one of the things that you hit on, communication is absolutely enormous. You have to, if you look at the way that our court systems are set up and the way that a lot of our laws are set up in terms of case law and things like that, some of those high end decisions, Miranda, you know, there's a million of them, but those decisions start at the very basic level of police officers.
Yeah.
Some cop went to work one day in his patrol car to answer a call, something happened, and it turned into a thing that went all the way up to the Supreme Court. So we want folks who have an ability to express themselves both verbally as well as in written form, and communication is a big part of that. You need to ensure that you're getting both sides of the story so that you can give a successful resolve to whatever it is that you're trying to get across. So the communication portion is absolutely enormous. And Sergeant Major, if you would repeat the question for me, I want to make sure that I don't miss anything what you're saying.
Yeah, just you know, what makes a veteran, you know, more qualified to be a, you know, a good candidate for the police force?
Okay, so communication, fitness, just again, ability to think on your feet. Those folks who can go in there and just be ready to give back to the community. One good thing about military veterans, they're service oriented. This is a sort service oriented field. We want to get folks who are willing to give back to the communities that they serve. And one of the things that I constantly keep in my mind, and I say a prayer every night. I pray for our military veterans. I pray for our police officers, first responders, even the fire department. I do these things every night. And one of the things that I always say, excuse me, is that, I completely lost my train of thought. I apologize. one of the things that I always say is that when we, our first responders are giving back, police officers are responsible for the homeland, the home front.
Absolutely.
And our military personnel takes care of us overseas. So I look at it from a standpoint as we got your six. We got your back. Yeah. We have this covered. While you're over there dealing with the headaches around the world, your families are safe here. And that's what this job does. And that's, again, one of those reasons why I pray for every military person that there is, because, you know, we have families too. We want them to be safe. And there's one group of people that does that here, and that's us in the law enforcement realm.
Yeah. I think the other thing is you're really right. You know, when you talk about fire department, police force, and veterans, they're all really part of a big family. The other thing I think is really critical is being approachable. Too often, and I learned this in the military, if you can, again, you can turn people off by your actions, by the way you look at people, by the way you talk to people. And sometimes, you know, I talk all the time about, you know, sometimes telling a joke or laughing and chuckling to somebody. And I watch things on television every once in a while. I see maybe a police officer playing basketball with a group of kids or something like that. So I think being approachable is the key to success, because when people have issues or concerns, they're gonna reach out to you. That's one of the things I thought that I did. I don't know if I did good or bad while I was in the Army, but that's one of the things I thought I did pretty good. I always made it a point there. I went to where people were. You know, if they was playing ping pong or shooting pool or watching TV or something, I'd always go into those areas and reach out to them and talk to them and sort of sit down and listen to what they had to say. And again, that's why I always say it's always a good idea to listen to what the issue is, because you just can't know everything that's going on. I guess you probably do the same thing. I'm sure you do the same thing.
No, and you're absolutely right. Being approachable is huge. I know years ago when I started, Lieutenant was doing my interview to get hired on. And one of the things that I brought up back then was community policing.
Yeah.
And it's a big deal. You have to be a part of it. And it's not one of those things where the police department is being soft or any of those sorts of things. But there's a level of trust that needs to be created. And this is one of the ways that you do that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that he said to me was, because I told him, I said, I believe in community policing. I think it's a big deal. And he said to me, well, you know, this is not like where you may have come from. We're very busy. We don't have time to do a lot of that. And I told him, I said, you know, Lieutenant at the time, I said, you know, Lieutenant, community policing doesn't necessarily mean stopping and spending an hour to have a conversation or going to an event or this sort of thing. It could just simply mean giving a kid a sticker or a teddy bear or something like that and say, hey buddy, how was your day? How are your grades doing? You know, that sort of thing. I stopped a kid the other day who was being a knucklehead, and I chewed him for a hot second to tell him stop being a knucklehead. And then I spent the next 5 minutes discussing school.
Yeah.
Hey, how's your grades going? If I come down that school, what am I gonna see? And you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the more important part is when you talk about being approachable. It's not all about enforcement.
Yep.
I mean, granted, that is a part, and that's a large part. But the other side of that is making sure that you're approachable and that you can gain the trust of the folks that you serve.
Oh, man. You know, I'm glad you brought that trust up, because that trust is a big one. If they trust you and they believe you, believing that you're there for their interest, they'll mm-hmm. come to you and they'll work with you. The other thing is things you do today may affect you 20 years from today. You know what I mean? So if you're polite to somebody, in fact, it's funny that, you know, like I said, I stayed in the Army a long time. I get emails now, no longer letters now. I don't get those no more, but I get emails or texts from somebody I talked to maybe 20 or 15 or 10 years ago. And they'll say, hey, you know, Sergeant Major, I just want to say thank you for what you did for me. You know, and a lot of times I don't remember But it's the little things in life that mean so much. And it's, you know, people think it's not important. It is important to take your time and be polite and be, you know, you got to do tough things. I understand that. You know, the military's got to do tough things and things you really don't want to do. But it's about enforcing the rules and regulations, you know, of our country. And you got to do that. And, you know, we all got to live in peace. What advice do you have for someone who might consider, you know, really a job in the career of criminal justice field? What advice would you give them?
A couple things. And we've talked about it a couple times. Fitness. Remain fit. And I'm not going to beat it up, but just keep yourself in some decent shape. It's just all around good for you, whether you're going into police work or not. We need to get our health under control as a country anyway. Total side note. Moving back into this. Education. Educate yourself. And I touched on this one already as well. You don't have to come into the police department. You don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to have a bachelor's or an associate's degree to join the police department. A high school GED or a high school diploma is fine. But understand, again, where your report or where your documentation, where your expressions of yourself or the particular event that you've had to deal with, where those things are going to go, who they're going to sit in front of. They can be sitting in front of some of those justices that you only hear about on television that sit in the Supreme Court. I recently read, well, not recently, it's been quite some time now, but we've all heard of Stop and Frisk, the Terry Frisk. In the Terry case, and I read Terry's report, Detective Terry, his report, and it was probably 3/4 of a page long. And I said, oh my goodness, look at the case law that Terry Frisk has put over all of law enforcement. And I said, wow, we would never get away with a report like that today. Terry's report today would have to have been 10 pages.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things. So education is a big one. Understanding what you see on television, what you see in the news, the car chases and the fights and the different things like that. Those things do happen, but those are a very, very short duration, generally speaking. It's the report that takes a long period of time after that where you have to justify your action as to why you did what you did, how you made sure that you were in compliance with policy, how you were in compliance with state law, with any federal law that may be involved. So that's why you need to be able to express yourself in a written form as well as in verbally. And if you can do those things, you're going to be setting yourself up in a pretty good spot. Not to mention, education is just a good thing to have all around. We're not going to be cops forever. And when you leave this profession, your education stays with you. And so that follows you to whatever it is that you choose to do next.
Yeah.
Those are some of the biggest things. Again, anything you can do as far as communication, anything you can do as far as education, anything you can do with your fitness, your background, if you have any sort of questionable background, ways you can kind of start getting that cleared up. If you don't have a questionable background, don't get one. That's always a good thing.
What if you had something when you were a kid? You know, if you got in trouble as a kid, maybe got locked up or did whatever. I would think that would not be held against you. And also, I'd think that even if you apply for the police force, isn't there waivers? Can't somebody say, you know, this wasn't that bad a deal? Or if you have any chink in your armor, would they not accept you, I guess?
So there is disqualification criteria, but a lot of it is discretionary. Not all of it, but a lot of it is discretionary. So, for instance, if I was using illegal narcotics yesterday before I came in to apply for my job interview versus when I was in high school 30 years ago, a little bit different.
Yeah.
So those sorts of things. I know in a lot of cases and a lot of times there's a lot of structure in the military. Some folks want to get out of the military and they just want to kind of be free of the structure, so to speak. And they want to go party and then they get involved in something that kind of jams them up a little bit later. And one of the things you just said, Sergeant Major, and I use this on my own kids often, is actions have consequences, whether positive or negative. Actions have consequences. What you do today will affect you tomorrow one way or another. And then when tomorrow comes, you're going to say, dang, I wish I wouldn't have done what I did yesterday, kind of thing. So just consider those things as you're looking to get into the profession.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's some great advice. One of the other thing I got, just going back to the military for me, when I got to, you know, when I got to work in Sergeant Major of the Army, some of the advice that I got was from a couple of friends of mine. One of them said, the reason they hired you for that job was the things that you did before that. And I'm sure that's the same thing as you. The reason they hired you for that job was how you built up to be the deputy chief. The other thing he said is, don't change who you are. Always be the same person and the way you communicate with people. And a lot of times you have people that'll move to a senior level and they'll forget, you know, now that I'm up here, I'm more important. Well, that's not necessarily true. You're the same person and you got to, you know, you got to do what you did to get there. The other thing is, how do you say it? You say, when you're making decisions for the Army, it's not about you personally. It's about what's good for the Army. And I'm sure it's the same thing in Las Vegas. When you're making decisions for the police department or for the people that you're working with or the people in that community, it's what's right for the community. It's what's doing right for the people within that community. So it has nothing to do with white or black or pink or yellow. It's about what's right for this country. And I think sometimes people lose sight of that. And so, and unfortunately, I think now it's sometimes more about me versus us. And that bothers me sometimes. I was going to ask you again about, you know, really preparing yourself for criminal justice, but I think you've already covered that topic about a veteran, especially coming into the service. But I think for the people that are listening today, I think this is one of the best professions that anybody could get in, because it's just like, it's like going overseas and seeing the kind of things. I mean, me and you see the same things, but I remember going to countries and people were not free to do the things they should be doing. They couldn't walk down the street, or they couldn't buy food or whatever the heck it was. And it's the same thing for the police force. You allow people to have those freedoms to say what they want to say and do what they want to do. So I just, again, for the people that are listening, this is a great profession. It's something we all ought to take a look at. And again, we always talk about when we go by a veteran, say thank you for your service. When you go by a police officer, thank them, because they're doing things that are good for us and for this country. And so I certainly appreciate it. And I'm sure all the people that are listening appreciate it too. We're talking with Michael Harris, Assistant Chief of Police of North Las Vegas Police Department. And you're watching Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, I know that you are, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Chief, I understand that the military created a certification program. I never went through it because I guess I was too old. That enables law enforcement veterans to go directly into the workforce, you know, police officers, upon retirement. Does Las Vegas have something like that, that you can come out of the military and go right into being a police officer?
So we're looking at instituting that very program. I know we have our recruiters go out to the military bases here out in Vegas. We spend a lot of time at Nellis Air Force Base, because that's our military installation here. Every now and again, we try to get up to Creech Air Force Base, which is the next closest. And surrounding state, we try to get out to those bases as well. Not very often, but we do our best to get out there. And yes, we're looking at a number of things to try to get military veterans into this agency, because it's a great place to be. We're trying to get some things going, such as moving expenses. There's preference points for military folks who come in here, different things like that. Anything we can to get help our veterans out, to again get them back in the community to continue that life of service that they signed up for initially.
Now they have I don't remember the name of the program right now, but they have a program 6 months out from the military. I know in the Army, I'm not sure if the Marine Corps and the rest of the service have, but in the Army, they have a 6 months prior to you getting out of the service, you can go through a certification program that allows you to get certified and get certified, whatever you want to get certified in, but you're off for that 6 months. You're almost like an intern in one of the companies. And I know they're doing it at large bases, Fort Hood, Fort, you know, all the Army bases. So that may be something that may be something you want to take a look at.
Absolutely.
I guess the other question that I was thinking about here, does combat arms make better leaders within the police force? Somebody that was a combat arms, maybe that's a bad question to ask, but if somebody that was a combat arms person that, I mean, because it's different, there's different development within each service. If you're an infantry guy, an armor, or a combat arms person, would they make better police force, police officers?
You know, the knowledge of any law enforcement knowledge you have is a benefit. I can tell you that when you come here, we're going to send you through our academy as long as you don't have something that is already comparable. In those cases, we can hire you right on. You won't have to go through a police academy, but that's something you have to talk to our recruiters about. Reciprocity is the word I'm looking for. But everybody's going to be a little bit different. I can't say necessarily it's going to make them a better police officer. What makes folks good police officers is, number one, their best level of training, their best level of engagement with that training, and the way that they think and operate. I'm finishing up my degree. I have two classes left.
Yay! Oh, congratulations!
Two classes left, and I'll finish up my bachelor's degree. And I did it in business leadership. And as a part of that program, I learned a lot about leadership, a lot of the theories associated with leadership. And come to find out, you talk to all the so-called smart folks in the world, the scholars, they haven't come up with an agreed upon definition of what leadership actually is. And there are some people that say you're born a leader, you develop traits as you go along, and so on and so on and so on. But no one's come up with a for sure answer yet. So back to your combat arms question as being kind of the best leaders. It depends on that individual and how they are how they're willing to assess themselves, how they're willing to take on the information, and how they're willing to make decisions based on the information that they have in front of them. Again, being true to yourself, being the person that you always are, is always a big deal. I do the best I can to remember where I came from. I don't talk at people. I talk to people.
Yep.
You know, and there's a big difference when you speak to someone versus speaking at them, trying to speak down upon them from upon high. It's a game changer. Yeah. So that's going to be completely dependent upon the individual, Sergeant Major. But I can tell you, it's going to reduce your levels of stress and headache if you've already got some knowledge of what's going on, because that's one less thing you have to learn. You can concentrate on other things. You can focus on a little bit more of the in-depth things rather than the surface of what everybody else is trying to grasp that doesn't have that previous knowledge.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that, because I've read a lot of books about leadership and all that stuff. And people ask me, I go to different places to talk about leadership. And I really sort of break it down in one thing. You know, it's art about influencing people. How do you influence people? But it also goes back to what we initially talked about, is how you listen and how you communicate. And the other thing that you said a minute ago, you know, I own a small company, and I always got these guys say, hey, you know, we work for you. And I always tell everybody, you don't work for me. We work with each other. You know, we work with each other. You're not working for me. I mean, if I'm successful, it's because we're successful. You know, it's not about one individual, anything. It's about the team. That's for sure. Do you have any special programs that aid potential candidates out there in Las Vegas?
Again, we have, for military veterans, preference points is one thing. We're looking at a few other incentives that haven't quite been put in the works yet, but we are certainly looking into doing some different things. Some of the biggest things that I would say are benefits to us are those things that a lot of military members always worry about when they come out of the service. One of those things is a benefits package. We're going to take care of the medical benefits. Yeah. There's a small cost, but nowhere near the cost that it's going to be if you have to pay for it on your own. That's medical and dental and vision as well. Additionally, the retirement our city pays for our retirement, so we're getting that taken care of, as well as our benefits, as well as a very, very healthy working wage. I think that we do pretty well. We're very, very comparable with the other municipalities around us. And those are some of the things that I think that we kind of excel at here in North Las Vegas. The city is very good to us. and takes care of the law enforcement agencies very well.
Is there an age limit? Because I'm thinking about moving to Las Vegas here.
There is not, Sergeant Major.
Oh, there's not an age limit. Wait, wait a minute. Hey, we've got a lot more to talk about, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for five straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at VeteransUnited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Michael Harris, Assistant Chief of Police of the North Las Vegas Police Department. I want all of our viewers to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you like us to cover. Remember, I always tell you that it's not my show, it's our show. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll reach out to you. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Well, we're heading into the final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. And I just have a couple more questions, Chief. You mentioned preparation for the show, how important family support is to what you do. Can you talk about families and all the involvement with your families in the preparation to be a police officer?
Absolutely. Family is extremely important. And one of the things about our agency, we are a very family-oriented agency. We are not a huge agency. And so, therefore, I can tell you nearly every person by name on the police department. I can walk up to them. I can ask them how their wife or husband or whatever spouse or children are. These are the sort of things that we do. We understand that your spouse and children have to go through this journey with you. Absolutely. And we understand that they need support as well. It's not just about us as the officer, it's about our spouses as well. And we have a very good support program for that, family support program for that, as well as the emotional and physical well-being of our officers and their families. We have support for those things as well. Families are some of the biggest things, because none of us likes to miss our children's birthday. None of us likes to, miss those events that we need to go to that are very important to us. And we as an agency recognize that. So we keep those things in line, and we look at those things as very serious topics. And one other thing that, because I know, just in case I don't want to miss the niche of folks who, or kind of like I was, who left or are leaving the military and still maybe want to do a reserve type program or something to that effect.
Yeah.
We also have programs in place for that, contractual programs, where we offer your time off, you still get paid. So if you have to go do your drill weekend, or you need to do your 2 weeks per year, mm-hmm. we still take care of that. That's not held against you in any way. Federally, you can't do that anyway, but it's not held against you in any way. We still take care of you. All your stuff stays in place. So we look out for your families that way as well, to where you're not taking money out of your family's pocket so that, meals are harder to come by because you had to go to drill when the two pay scales may not meet one another.
Yeah.
So family, again, is very, very important. And we will certainly do everything we can to ensure that both you and your family are taken care of while you're here.
Yeah, there's a lot of different stresses that go on in the police force, just like the military. And I know that any event that I have when I was in the military, I always made it a point to talk to the military spouses, because to tell you, they're quite honest about things. If something's not right, they're gonna tell you the truth. And so that relationship. The other thing I was thinking about as you was talking, though, there is a lot of stresses on the police force. There's a lot of stresses on the families. Is there a system in place that you check out, or you reach out, or have sessions with family members that talk to them about issues or whatever? Will you bring them like a town hall meeting with just the spouses? You would do anything like that?
You know what, Sergeant Major, we haven't. I can tell you at the very beginning, when you start with the police department, we do what they call a family night.
Yeah.
And on family night, we go over all these things, which your spouse are going to be dealing with over the course through like the police academy time frame. A lot of what they're going to deal with after the police academy, what life is going to be like, and how consumed they're going to be, because there's a lot that goes into it. It's a 6-month all intensive program. It's not a live-in type program. You get to go home at the end of every evening, mm-hmm. but we're polishing boots. We're reading books. It's very, very knowledge based as well as hands-on. So you need to, there's a lot of preparation for that. And the family needs to understand that and be ready for that. So we do have that in place already. But now that you mentioned it, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have an event just like that. And don't get me wrong, there are tons of events that we, whether it be squad parties or Christmas parties or different get-togethers. For instance, our ear coordinator. She's our wellness coordinator.
Yeah.
She's got an event coming up where we are doing just that. She's serving lunch, so spouses and families can have lunch together and just talk and have some questions. We're having what we call our turkey bowl, our annual turkey bowl, when we bring a bunch of kids from the community to play a game of tag football with the kids. And so families are invited to those sorts of things. We have our Shop of the Cop event. We bring a bunch of children who are either less fortunate or ill, and the families are allowed to get together and do those sorts of events. So there's a ton of events that we get, but nothing specifically for spouses.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm going to take you up on your, I'm going to steal that idea if you don't mind.
Well, no.
Appropriate.
Well, it was funny you said, because everywhere I used to go in the military, they'd always say, hey, you're going to talk to so-and-so. And I'd say, well, I'm going to talk to a group of spouses. And I'd put these spouses in a room, and there's no muscle. They're going to say what they want to say, and they're going to tell you. And you got to be tough-skinned about it, but you'll find out things that are going on that you didn't know. It's another door of communications to open up. In fact, I'll tell you a really quick story. I was in Europe, and I was a division sergeant major over there, and somebody came in. They said something about a soldier, really a senior NCO, and I went home and I said to my wife, I don't know why I said, you know, I can't believe this guy's doing that. And she said, you didn't know that? Oh, I've known that for 6 months. I said, what? She said, yeah, she worked at the beautician shop there for a while doing stuff. And ladies talk. So I tell you, the spouses, everything that I ever do, it's always involved with the spouses and letting them know. If you take anything from me, most people don't, but if you take anything from me, that's probably a good one, talking to spouses and letting them know. The other thing I'll tell you is, again, I respect what the police force does so much, and respect certainly what your police department does for our country and for the community. And we're certainly here to help you in any way that we can, anytime that we can. And we just certainly appreciate you coming on the show. Any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience? Unfortunately, we're like everybody else. We have a time limit here. So, no, we're not on time. But anything else that maybe we missed that we want to talk about, or you want to share with the audience? Anything, Chief?
You know what? I think we covered just about everything. I guess in closing, I'd just like to thank you again for the opportunity to be here. I think one of the big topics that was covered and that you brought up was about being approachable.
Yeah.
99% of police officers are approachable. If you have questions, go ask them. Please reach out. Just tap them on the shoulder. You know, most folks, I don't know how many times I've been sitting at lunch and somebody wants to stop and talk. Please stop and talk to these folks. Get some of the questions answered. Because if you listen to a lot of the things that are in social media or in, you know, mainstream media, you're going to get a skewed version of what actually is. And just go ahead and ask the question. Cops are people too. We want safe neighborhoods just like everyone else does. We don't want, and I'm sure I can speak for everyone in the military, that one military member who does something silly and kind of puts a black eye on the military.
Absolutely.
No one likes that guy. Everybody's ticked off with that guy. So, and it's no different for police officers. We're the same way. We just want to go out there. We want to go out and do a good job. We want to keep people safe. And we want to be able to go home to those families that we just talked about. So if you're interested in this profession, and I would highly recommend it, I'm going into my 24th year of doing this. It's been a great job. I've done a ton of great things. And Sergeant Major, if you'll allow me to put up a QR code so folks can scan it.
Absolutely.
If I can just pull that up here.
Sure.
But I'm going to try to get this in the camera. If you all want to scan that QR code and have a look at us, then I hope I held it up long enough.
Oh, I'm sure they'll figure it out and make sure how to get it up there and get it squared away for you. I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. We got some great recruiters, some great background folks, and we're looking forward into inviting some more great people into our family at the North Las Vegas Police Department. And again, Sergeant Major, I appreciate you and your program, and thank you for your service, and as well to all of the veterans and current serving folks that are out there. You guys be safe. God bless. And I wish everybody the absolute best.
Well, I get right back at you, and I appreciate all you're doing, and keep up the great work. And next time I'm out in Las Vegas, and I do come out there every once in a while, I come by and say hey to you, or tell our good friend Kevin that I'm coming out and maybe yell at you or something, and let me come by.
I'll be here. Sounds good. That'd be awesome.
All right. All right. Hey, thanks to Chief Michael Harris for being with us today. And I'm Jack L. Tully, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast. Thank you for watching today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say, I hope it's a good review, but if it's a bad one, I can take that too. Also visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. Also, please visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are available for you. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. I always like to say that at least twice. Please know our team and everybody want to assist you any way we can. Please follow me on all my personal social media channels. I never thought I'd ever say this. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you've enjoyed this discussion, I know that you have, with Chief Harris, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Chief Michael Harris for joining us. It was great having him on the show. And this week on my final thoughts, I always have final thoughts each week. I want to thank the police force for what they do, not just in Las Vegas, but really around the country. They're the people really in our country allow us to be free. So if you get a chance and you see a police officer, don't scowl at him or anything. Say hi, have a great day, and thank you for what you're doing for all of us. Remember, just like the chief said, they have families too, and they want to go home each night, and they're doing a wonderful job for all of us. Again, thanks for watching. Thanks to CloudCast Media, New Mind Studios, and of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvary Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground.
Hoo-ah! You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.